Happy Sunday. So glad you've joined us this weekend. Let me look into the camera, say a big hello to all of you who are joining us at our online location. Very glad that you're along for the ride today from wherever you're joining us. And then, of course, our Hokesson location. Much love to our family there. I got an opportunity to be at our Hokesson location last Sunday. Love what God is doing in H-Town. That's my nickname for you. I hope that works. And just excited about what God is doing across our church family. And if you're joining us for the first time, we are in week four of a series that we've called You Matter. And here's what it's all about. Wherever you land when it comes to spiritual things, wherever you find yourself in your spiritual journey, we've been talking about becoming more aware of how much we matter to God and how much the people around us matter to God. And they are connected together. We actually, until we recognize how much God cares about, loves us, and I know some of you may feel like, I'm not sure I'm able to really believe that in this season of my life, and I hope this series helps convince you, but when we become aware of how much God cares about us, then we can become aware of how he feels about the people around us, and they're tied together. So last weekend, I had an opportunity to share with you what your generosity is accomplishing across our region and tell some of the stories of what we're doing through Code Red, which is what we call all of our outreach outside of our walls to touch the lives of people. It was amazing for all of you who are giving here. Thank you for your generosity. It really is bringing the hope of Jesus to so many people and making a difference. And then I also mentioned last weekend that we celebrated a birthday as a church recently. The Journey turned 15 years old this year. We're 15, yeah. We're 15. We get our license next year, everybody. It's gonna be amazing as a church. It's so good. But of course, we had to party. So we brought our J team together in September. There were about 450 of us that got together and more that joined us online, and we partied, we celebrated, and there was worship, an amazing worship time, and we had games, and then of course, if you were here, it wouldn't be a birthday party without our next gen pastor getting a pie in the face. So, just a great time, and that night I shared a message that our team agreed needed to come to our whole church on a weekend, and so if you were here J-Team night, you're going to recognize what I'm going to talk about today. I am, just so you know, a little bit of my personality, I'm a perfectionist. Anybody else a perfectionist? Can I just see a show of hands, like perfectly raise your hand if you wouldn't mind? And so I couldn't just preach it again. I've updated it and changed it and tweaked it. But you're gonna hear some familiar things. If you weren't here for J-Team Night, this will be brand new to you. But here's the headline. Our influence matters. Wherever we are in life, our influence matters. Whatever you believe about God, you have influence. And it matters whether we're students, parents, single, married, divorced, widowed, young, old, rich, poor, religious, can't believe we're at church. I mean, whatever the case, we have more influence than we realize, and it matters, and it can matter more when we know what to do with it. Now, I know some of you may be saying, man, I don't have that much influence. I have 73 followers on Instagram, and 64 of them are cousins. So, you know, we're all like, that's, I kind of lie low. I don't feel like I have a lot of influence, and I get that, but I promise you, you have more influence than you realize. And when I say more, I don't just mean like more wide, but you might have more influence deep than you realize and more influence than you think you do with just a few people. So a few weeks ago, I took a couple of days off away from my ordinary responsibilities to go pray and study. I do this two or three times a year. It's an opportunity for me to kind of get away and work on the teaching that I'm going to do here on the weekend, our series, and what I ask God to just give direction. And I was away a few weeks ago. I rented an Airbnb. Some of you know like how much I love Airbnbs. I preached a whole message about it, compared them to heaven, so you know how much I love Airbnbs. And I had a little cottage on the Chesapeake Bay, and here was the view in my backyard, all right? This was the view from the backyard of my cottage. How many of us love the water? Just if you're in the room here, Newark, Hokesson, love the water. If you're online, maybe you're near the water. We're all jealous. We're just... I love it. There's something about waves, right? Waves, just they're calming, and they can be, when they're intense, they can be majestic, and just love the water, love the waves. And while I was staying there, my first day at this Airbnb, when I arrived, I took this picture And the water was pretty gentle. There were some waves, but not, you know, nothing too intense. And then the day before I left, I took this little video, and you can see like things had picked up. There were bigger waves. You see some white caps in the distance, a little bit more intense. But the day in between was a lot of wind and rain. And so I didn't go outside and take a picture because I don't like to get rained on. I like to see the water. I don't want it falling on me. Just how I roll. So you're just going to have to trust me. It was a big deal. It was windy. It was rainy. And actually, it was so intense that I pulled open my weather app to see what the weather said because I could see all this storm and stuff going on outside and the waves crashing on the rocks. And my weather app has said there was a small craft advisory. Have you ever seen that in a weather app? Small craft advisory. What does that mean? It means if your boat is too small to handle the waves, stay off the water, baby. Like, don't even go on the water because the waves are intense. You ever wonder where waves come from? Me too. So I looked it up, and here's what Google says. Waves, you can try, if it's online, it can't be wrong, right? Waves are caused, that's not a true thing. Believe what I tell you about the Bible. Don't believe that last statement. Waves are caused by energy passing through the water. So I did vet this. I did back it up a little bit more beyond Google. It is true. Waves are caused by energy passing through the water, causing it to move in a circular motion. That's where waves come from. Now, it's hard to see that circular motion on a body of water as big as the Chesapeake Bay, but you've seen it. Have you ever thrown a pebble in a pond? And you see that little ripple effect is sometimes what we call it. Throw the pebble in the pond. The energy of the pebble passing through the water causes the water to respond, and this little circle appears, and then it spreads out, and another little circle appears, and another one, this ever-increasing circle of influence. Well, the same is true on a windy day on a bigger scale. The energy of the wind passes through the water, and we get waves. So how do you get big waves? How do you get white caps? How do you get waves that make a big impact? Well, the amount of energy that passes through the water determines the size of the waves. The water itself does not control what happens. It simply responds to a force from outside of it that causes something to happen, and then you get waves. Now, maybe you're thinking, okay, I came to church and I'm learning about waveology. I didn't expect that. Stay with me, because there's a moment at the end of the book of John in the New Testament of the Bible. John's the fourth biography of Jesus' life, tells the account of Jesus coming and the miracles that he did. And John is particularly interested in Jesus being the Son of God and who he is and how he reveals God to us. And there's a moment at the end of that book when Jesus appears to his disciples. He has died, but then he has risen from the dead, and he appears to his friends. They are gathered together. They've heard rumors that Jesus has risen from the dead, but they're not sure. They're kind of freaking out. They're like, we followed Jesus. We trusted Jesus. Now we don't really know what's going on. And Jesus appears in the midst of his friends, and he shows them the wounds in his hands and the wound in his side where he was nailed to a cross and pierced with a spear. And they are overjoyed to realize it's really him. And in this moment, Jesus says something to his disciples, and I believe says something to us. That's why John recorded it, so we could have it, so that we could remember that here's Jesus' message to us. Peace be with you. Remember, they've been freaking out. Why? Because it's windy. It's stormy. There's a lot going on, a lot of uncertainty. Jesus says, hey, chill out. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. You ever been up close and personal with someone with bad breath? How many of us have had that experience? I mean, it's terrible, right? Nothing's worse. You can't focus on anything they're saying because you're just trying hard not to pass out. You're like, just stay conscious, just stay upright. Sometimes we'll be somewhere and my wife will pass me a mint. Can I tell you, she's not expressing kindness to me in that moment. She is expressing kindness to anyone who's about to encounter me. She's like, here, take this. The world needs it. Jesus meets with his disciples after he rises from the dead, which, can we just pause and say that's a big deal? If you're new to the message of of Jesus, the good news about Jesus, the real truth about what Christianity is all about. We believe in someone who came, lived, did miracles, taught, died, and rose again. You say, why does that matter so much to me today? Because you think he can't handle what you're going through? Did I mention he rose again? From the dead, which means that relationship you think is dead, Jesus isn't freaked out by that. That situation that you think all the hope has been sucked out of, Jesus is not flipping out over that. He's not worried about that. He was raised from the dead. All right, another message for another time, but I just thought that would encourage somebody. He was raised from the dead. And so he meets with his disciples and he says, just as the Father sent me, peace be with you. But the peace isn't, we're gonna stay here, sing kumbaya, wait for, you know, things to get better someday. He says, I'm sending you. And he says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. This is not a random choice of words, because the word for spirit in the language that Jesus and his disciples would have spoken during this time actually means breath or wind. So Jesus said, receive the breath of God. Receive the wind of God. He breathed on them and said, God's gonna fill you with this power from outside of you. I'm sending you out into the ocean of this world, an ocean filled with possibility and potential and hurt and pain and need, but you're gonna need divine energy. You can't fix this world on your own. You can't make a difference on your own. So God's gonna give you the breath, the wind of the Holy Spirit, and that's what Jesus wants to do in our lives. Why? Because we were meant to make waves. We were meant to make waves. Our lives have purpose. Our lives are not just about us. When we put our faith in Jesus, as we respond to God's presence, and if you haven't gotten to know Jesus yet, that's your next step. And before you leave today, you can make that decision to begin following Jesus. But as we do, when we respond to God's presence, when we believe, worship, pray, trust, invite, connect, serve, give, lead, refuse to give up, keep trusting Jesus, what happens? We become waves that carry the goodness of God into the world around us. Jesus, in other words, what I'm trying to tell you is Jesus has good breath. He has good breath. And when he breathes into us, as we allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us, as we respond to God's presence, we make waves. Now, I know some of you are like, okay, make waves. I was hoping to make rent. That was my big goal this month. Make waves. I don't know that I'm qualified. I fought with my mom all the way here today, and I'm 37. I don't know if I can make waves. Half the time, I'm not even sure what I'm doing. How many of us have been there? Like, I don't even know what I'm doing. How am I going to make waves? Or for some of us, we're going, okay, I tried that. I tried to make a difference. I tried to be a life-giving influence in my family or at work or at school or in my neighborhood, but then my insecurity got the better of me, or my impatience got the better of me. My temper got the better of me. The people around me got the better of me. How many of us have been there? And so we're thinking, how in the world am I going to make waves? Can I tell you the water in the Chesapeake Bay, that day that I was there, and the storm was raging, the wind was blowing, that water was dirty and imperfect and impure, but the wind still blew, and all the water had to do was be receptive, and voila, waves. It wasn't the perfection of the water, it was the power of the wind that made the difference. And for some of us today, here's the part of faith that we miss, because we think our faith isn't working because we expect God to fix all of our problems right away. But God isn't just into fixing problems, he is into filling people. He wants to fill people with hope and power and direction and guidance and faith and boldness. And it's gotta get windy before there can be waves. Some of us are frustrated with the very thing that God is trying to work through to unleash our purpose. We're like, God, why is it so windy right now? Why is it so uncertain right now? Why is the world so tumultuous right now? And God is saying, because there's a lot of brokenness and a lot of pain in the world, and I'm breathing on you, and by breathing on you and putting you in some situations that you're not comfortable with, God says, I can get you to do some things that you wouldn't do when the water was still. I can get you to believe for some things you wouldn't believe for when the water was still. And listen, we bring our imperfections to God. We don't hide them. We don't pretend that they're okay. We admit that we've got areas of brokenness. We ask God to heal us and forgive us and strengthen us, why we do life in relationship with other people and get honest with other people. But we are not, God is not waiting for the perfection of the water. He's already sending the wind. And if we'll just yield to the wind, we can make a difference. We can make waves. We can make waves. And you know what waves do? They don't create. They just carry. They just carry. Some of us are frustrated. We're discouraged. We're disillusioned because we're trying to create the energy. We're trying to create the solution. We've got a relationship we're in that's difficult, and we're trying to be the savior of that situation. We were not meant to try and create the solution. We were simply meant to carry the goodness of God into every environment we're in. We begin every day by asking God to breathe on us. Then we can carry the good news to people who are spiritually lost. Then we can carry hope to people who are hungry and hurting. Then we can carry freedom to people who are bound by fear and doubt. Then we can carry joy to people who are grieving when we say, God, just breathe on me. I need the power of your spirit. If you're only treating your faith as a way to fix your problems, you probably feel a little ripped off right now. But when you begin to realize that God wants to breathe on your life, he wants to fill people, he wants to fill us so that we can make waves, then you start to understand why we're here. And you stop waiting for things to get perfect, and you start trusting a perfect God to work through you to make a difference. I want to show you this in another place in the Bible. In the Old Testament, a guy named Isaiah said this about God, and he's got a little chip on his shoulder when he says it. A lot of these Old Testament guys were kind of blunt, direct. I love this. He says, haven't you heard? Don't you understand? I kind of read this like, have you been living under a rock? God sits above the circle of the earth. God sits above the circle of the earth. Now, that word circle is important. You can kind of picture God looking down at the circle of the earth. He sees it all. He sees the potential, he sees the possibility, and he sees the pain. And in response, what does God do? He sends people. That's what God has always done. By the way, you read the Bible from cover to cover, God's always sending someone. That's his response to the problems in our world. In fact, this same guy, Isaiah, was like, man, the world is really messed up. And God's like, I know. Who will go fix it? Isaiah's like, oh, I think I figured this one out. I think it's me. Like, I'm messed up too, but if you can use me, God, I'll go. That's what God always does. He's always sending people. Ultimately, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who rescues us from life without God, forgives our sins, restores our purpose. And when we believe in Jesus, what does God do? He sends us. Like a pebble tossed into a pond, he throws us into a big world full of possibilities and pain. And then God breathes on us so we can carry his goodness into the world. So let's shrink that down, because we're not God. Everyone agreed? We're not God? I'm not God. You're not God. We can't handle what God can handle. We can't do what God can do. But we are made in the image of God. So what that means is, I love that Isaiah said, you know, God sits above the circle of the earth. So while we're in it and we're all anxious about it and how's it all going to work out, God's like, I got this. I see all of it. And because we're made in the image of God, we were meant to have a circle as well. Now, our circle isn't as big as God's. The whole planet is God's circle of influence. He's like, I see it all. I know what it's all about. I haven't given up on it. And he calls us to have a circle. We have a circle of influence on this planet, every single one of us, and it matters. How we treat our circle of influence matters. And can I tell you, like God, we were meant by the power of God's Spirit in us to rise above the anxiety and the uncertainty of our circle and to see it from God's perspective. That's what prayer does for us. That's why we begin every day with what we call a slot and spot, a time on our calendar and a place we go to pray and read the Bible and to get perspective. What are we doing? Every day when I put myself in God's presence, I rise above the problems in my family. I rise above the situation in my finances. I rise above the uncertainty on my job, and I begin to see it as a circle of influence. And I see it from God's perspective. And then I'm equipped to do God's will. So how do you succeed at making waves? How do we treat our circle of influence? Well, a few years ago, Harvard Business Review published an article called "You'll Feel Less Rushed If You Give Time Away." Interesting title. And it was published as the results of a series of studies about how people view time in different environments. So in these studies, there were always two groups. Group one, everyone was assigned to do something that would benefit someone else, but would require them to have to give up their time. It wouldn't directly benefit them. So they would write a card to someone who was sick or help someone with a project or do something that would serve another person. In group two, people were instructed to essentially waste their time or spend it on themselves. They could scroll, they could gather information, they could do self-care, or they could just go home early. It's like, we'll still give you the little check, you can go home early. And then afterward, everyone was surveyed, immediately afterward. And in study after study, on this very simple survey, these people were asked about their view of time and how much they had available and their optimism about their future. Time after time, the people in group one who gave up their time and influence to help someone else reported feeling like they now had more time available than they did before, and they were more optimistic about the potential of their future. But the people who used their time on themselves or just wasted it doing something meaningless or went home early reported feeling more anxious about the amount of time they had available and more negative about their future. Did you catch that? That doesn't make sense unless we were meant to make waves. Unless we were created to serve. Some of us are stressed out, and we think it's because we don't have enough time to do what we need for ourselves. But what if a large amount of our stress and anxiety is coming from all the energy we're wasting resisting the wind? What if we're in this place where we're going, I got to figure out for me, I got to get my life together first. Some of us have even said, I definitely need to make a difference, but I got to get my own life figured out first. That's like the water going, hold on, wind. Wait, I know you want to make waves, but this is not a good time. And some of us are anxious and stressed out because the harder we work on fixing our own problems, the less available we are to the breath of God. And the truth is, we were meant to make waves. We were meant to make waves. And honestly, you don't have to raise your hand on this at our locations, but how many of us, if we were honest, would just say, man, I've been so frustrated with God because he keeps, and I'm like, not a good time. Not a good time. No, I don't want to influence my neighbors right now. I actually don't like them. I got my own stuff going on, just not a good time, God. And God says, no, I am breathing. It's what I do. I sit above the circle of the earth. I look down at all the potential and all the pain, and then I send people, and then I breathe on them, and the energy of my spirit passing through them. So many of us want the spirit to come to us, and God says, no, actually, it goes through you. It's not just, you're not just a container. You're a pipe. You're a conduit. It flows through us, and God's God's breathing on us. God provides us with strength. God provides us with a family. Some of us are like, God, give me the wrong family. I know, but he still gave you one. He gives us a family. He gives us money. He's given us a house or an apartment. He's given us a car or a job, an education. Can I say this? God has even given us problems. I'm not suggesting he created them all, but he's allowed us to face some white caps and some things that we're not really comfortable with, and we choose how we respond. And I know some of us are skeptical, and maybe we feel burned or burned out, and we're thinking, when is God going to fix my problems? And God is saying, when are you going to realize I don't just fix problems, I fill people. I fill people so they can carry my work into the world. And we all have a circle of influence. The people in our family, the circle of friends we have, the J group, the people we're connected to here in this community of faith, the people we serve with, our neighborhood, that cluster of cubicles, and or that warehouse space, that bank, that classroom we show up in every day, spend our time in. God wants to breathe on us so we can carry his goodness into those environments. And that's the story of our church. The end of 2017, God gave us a circle to care about. We call it Journey City. It's a 30-mile radius around our broadcast location in Newark. 1.8 million people live in that circle. And we've just decided as a church, if it happens in that circle, it matters to God and it matters to us. If somebody's hungry in that circle, it matters to us. If somebody's searching for spiritual answers in that circle, it matters to us. If somebody's overlooked in that circle, it matters to us. It's our circle of influence. And God is breathing on it. God is at work in that circle, not just through our church, but through every life-giving church in our region. And by the way, we support them and cheer them on and encourage them. In fact, I'll go one step further. This past week, we brought together over 200 pastors and leaders from around our region, and we inspired them and equipped them and prayed over them and fed them so much food they didn't know what to do with it. And we gave them systems and we gave them inspiration, and it was just amazing. We came together and we said, we believe in you, and we sent them home to change their community and their city. And here's the best part. We didn't charge them a dollar. You paid for all of it with your giving. Splash. Making waves. Making waves. You say, are we doing that because our church is perfect? No, we're not waiting until our church is perfect. We're not waiting until, you said, did we do that because everybody who showed up that day had extra time on their hands? Had extra energy to spare? No, here's what we find. The more we give, the more God says, oh, you're somebody I can trust with more. The more we serve, the more God says, oh, you're somebody who has a bigger vision than just yourself. I can trust you with more. Did you know that Jesus said, to whom much is given, of them much is expected? That's the responsibility side. But did you know that he also said, those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away, but those who have much, even more will be given? You say, that doesn't sound fair. No, it sounds like stewardship. God says, you know what? If I can trust you not to keep it all, then I'll give you more, because I know you'll know what the more is for. You want to live like a big wave life? Let the energy pass through you, not just to you. Let the power of God's Spirit pass through you. We are making waves to help people find Jesus and follow him fully in that circle. We don't feel any pressure to create something. We just carry what God is doing. We carry it. So here's where the rubber meets the road, or where the wave hits the shore. All right, here it is. First, taking the next step makes waves. When we know that God is calling us to take a next step in some area of our faith, the moment we stop resisting the wind and we humble ourselves and we say yes to God, even if it requires faith or giving up something, God says, all right, now we can start to make waves. The baptism weekend is next weekend. And if you've put your faith in Jesus but haven't gone public with your faith yet, that's your next step. And it will have a ripple effect in your life. God will breathe on your life when you go public with your faith. There's nothing magic about the water. There's nothing magic about the person doing the baptizing, but there is something spiritually momentous about a public decision to say, I am washed, I am clean, I'm going public with my faith in Jesus, I'm gonna follow him. And when you take that step, God says, Let me fill you with my Spirit. So if you haven't taken that step, sign up to be baptized today. And for all of us who have been baptized, let's show up next weekend ready to pool party. Let's believe God to breathe on people by his Spirit, because taking the next step makes waves. Second, taking the time to serve makes waves. Taking the time to serve makes waves. Now, when I talk about serving, very important you understand, I'm not just talking about serving at church. That's important. I'll talk more about that in a moment. But that really, in fact, let me put it this way. Truly the only real purpose of serving here is that we would begin more and more to live like Jesus everywhere. And the beauty of serving, the beauty of our J team serving in our community of faith, is that it begins to change our heart. That every time we allow the energy of God to pass through us in order to serve someone else, the goodness of God gets carried into our world, into someone else's life. And God says, okay, we're doing this. We're doing this thing. I can see you're not resisting anymore. You're responding. Some of us have been in this place of resisting, and God's like, okay, I'm going to have to stop breathing if you're going to keep resisting. But when we begin responding and saying, okay, I get why the wind is blowing. It's not all for me. Now I know what the more is for. Then God says, all right, I can trust you, and I can begin to breathe on you even more. 2 weeks ago, almost 300 of you across our locations and our gatherings said yes to serving on the J team. You stepped up and said, I'm going to serve. And if you're one of those, show up and serve. Let me put it this way. Respond to that text. Respond to that email. You say, why does that matter? I've been married 25 years. I am so grateful that Susie, when I asked her to marry me, said yes. How many know that was a good day? It's like, she said yes. But you know what I realize now? Susie showing up on our wedding day was actually the bigger deal. So if you said yes to serving on the J team, respond to that text, respond to that message, and show up to serve. That's actually the bigger deal. Don't be like, you know what? 7 years ago, I said yes, and was there something else I was supposed to do? No. All right, taking the next step to serve makes waves. Here's the last one. Taking the good news to others makes waves. Taking the good news to others makes waves. At the Movies starts 2 weeks from now. If you're new to our church, we're going to take 4 weeks. We'll look at four big films from the last few years and ask the questions about God and faith that the stories we love to watch speak to. And it's such an easy opportunity to invite someone to church. Movies, popcorn, soda, yes. Such an easy opportunity. And if you're at one of our physical locations today, we have invite cards at the entrances. Grab a bunch. We have plenty. We'll replenish those. Take a bunch with you. If you're online, there's a QR code right now coming on the side of the screen. You can scan that with your phone, mobile device, find out more about how to invite people to At the Movies. It's going to be amazing. We've created an environment where people can experience God. Their walls can be torn down through something that they're used to, so the good news about Jesus can come into their lives. And can I just encourage you, don't make little waves for At the Movies. Make big waves. Invite your whole neighborhood, your entire class, everybody you work with. What if you decided, man, I am not responsible to create someone's salvation? Whew. That's like, breathe a sigh of relief. I can stop trying to create someone's relationship with God, and I can start just carrying the good news everywhere I go. What if you got as many people as you could here for At the Movies? You say, why would I do that? Because you were meant to make waves. You don't have to create something out of nothing. Just respond to the wind. Just respond to the breath of God. All right, last part, ready? Some of you are thinking to yourself right now, you know, that's very inspiring for all the people who have extra time and extra energy to do that stuff. But this is not a good time for me. Some of you, in fact, are going, I'm dealing with a lot right now. If you knew what I was going through, you would not expect me to make waves. And I'll bore you the details. I don't know exactly what you're going through, but Can I tell you, I'm going through some stuff. In fact, if you're in a physical room, take a quick look around. Don't be creepy, but take a quick look around. Everybody's going through some stuff. Yo, my stuff. I've had so many moments in my life where nobody understands what I'm going through. And then I get around somebody else, I'm like, oh yeah, you kind of do understand what I'm going through. Everybody's going through stuff. Some of us are like, you know what? Definitely know my life is supposed to make a difference. Definitely get that. But I'm just waiting for things to go back to normal. Some of us have said, I'm waiting for things to go back to normal. Some of us have been waiting for 3 years for things to go back to normal. We're like, any day now, it's going to go back to normal. God's like, you know what normal is? Normal is you making waves when things aren't normal. That's normal. That's what normal is. Normal is you don't wait for the circumstances to change, to trust Jesus enough, to submit your life to him completely. And I know it's hard to focus when the wind is blowing so hard, but listen, what if you could find a way to channel the storm? In fact, what if the wind that's blowing, the stuff you don't understand, the relationship you're trying to navigate, the addiction you're trying to stay clean from, the financial issue that's been keeping you up at night, the career you're trying to hold on to, the loss you're trying to grieve, what if God is in the middle of what you're going through, just breathing on your life? In fact, remember how you get big waves? The amount of energy passing through, not to, the water determines the size of the waves. God, here's what I think. God, over the past couple of years, has issued a small craft advisory. See, why is it, man, the world just seems so uncertain, and my family, and financially, and there's inflation, and politically, there's so much, just so much, culturally, so much confusion. What's going on? God is issuing a small craft advisory, a small faith advisory, a small living advisory, a small worrying over things that you can't control advisory. And God is saying, hey, if your boat is too small to handle the waves, get off the water, baby, because the world is rocking to and fro, back and forth. It's time for bigger faith. It's time for a greater trust in God. It's time for some of us to go, I was not meant to sit on the shore and wait for the water to calm down. I was meant to make waves. You matter. Your circle of influence matters, and God wants to bring you up above the things that you've been filled with anxiety about and show you that in the middle of the most confusing thing you've ever faced in your life, you were meant to make waves. And if you would say today, that's my prayer, I want God to breathe on me. God, fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can make waves. Would you shoot your hand up? Come on, boldly, all over the room, in Newark and Hocasin, online, stretch that hand up toward heaven. God, breathe on me today. And let me pray that over us. Father, we come to you, our God, Jesus, we come to you, the one who said, peace be with you. The only way we can be at peace in the midst of the storm is to rise above it with you, to see what you see, and then to be filled with your Spirit and power. Jesus, you are sending us. We may not feel like it's a good time to be sent, but we're being sent anyway. We may not feel like the world is receptive to the good news about you, but we're being sent anyway. Jesus, breathe on us today. Breathe on us so that our families can experience the difference that you're making in and through us. Breathe on us so the people we work with and go to school with and live near can see the goodness of God through our lives, we pray. We were meant to make waves. Fill us with your Spirit today in Jesus' name. And while you let God seal that deal, that commitment in your heart today to be someone who makes waves, listen, if you're in the room at one of our physical locations, you're watching online right now and you don't know Jesus yet, God sent Jesus into this world to forgive our sins. Everything we've ever thought, said, or done that separates us from God, from our Creator. Jesus came to die on a cross to take our place, and then he rose from the dead. And through faith in him, through faith in what he came to do, you can give your life to Christ today and become a child of God. If you don't have a real relationship with God, I don't mean if you don't have some religion, I don't mean if you don't have a philosophy you live by, I mean if you don't know God. You say, well, how do I know? You would know. And if you don't know God personally through faith in Jesus, today can be your day. I'm going to lead us in prayer again, and this is your opportunity. At all of our locations, I want everyone to join me, open your heart up to God, and then if that's you, if you want to become a follower of Jesus today, whisper out a prayer of faith, something like this: Jesus, today, I believe in you. I believe you died for me to forgive my sins. I believe you rose again and you're real. From this day forward, I'm trusting in you. Save my life today. And if that's you, while everyone around you stays focused on God, if you would say, I'm praying that prayer, I want to be included in that, I'm taking that step, would you lift your hand and just hold it up high? Come on, all over the room, hold it up high. My faith is in Jesus today, trusting him with my life. And Hocus, and hold that hand up high. Online, type the word faith in the comments. Let us know you're taking that step. And if you did pray that prayer a moment ago, before you leave, whether you're in person or online, take a moment, fill in a connect card, let us know. We want to come alongside you and help you continue your spiritual journey. You just made the most important decision in your life. We want to celebrate that with you. And for right now, would you help me? Come on, let's give Jesus all the praise together. Come on, everybody.